Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Larry Stamm concludes our special series entitled Pilgrimage to Zion. Friends, don't miss out on any of the important topics and information that's shared right here on Watchmen on the Wall. Make sure you subscribe to our free e-newsletter, A Moment of Prophecy, the latest insight and analysis from our speakers, and access to our latest resources are all inside this e-newsletter. Sign up today for A Moment of Prophecy at swrc.com or simply give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. If you prefer the mail, you can receive our free monthly updates through the mail. Same great information, just delivered in the mailbox. swrc.com or 1-800-652-1144. April is anniversary month. It's our 91st birthday as a ministry and as a daily radio program. Friends, would you consider giving a gift in honor of our anniversary? You can give by visiting our website, swrc.com, or by simply calling 1-800-652-1144. Thank you for your support of SWRC and Watchmen on the Wall. Now, here's today's host, Clayton Van Hus.
You're listening to the Watchmen on the Wall broadcast. I'm your host, Clayton Van Hus. Today we're talking with our good friend, author, speaker, and founder of Larry Stamm Ministries, the man himself, Larry Stamm. Larry, welcome to the program.
Clayton, a blessing to be with you and your audience once again.
Oh, great. Well, we're having you here today because we're talking about a project that you recently worked on that is, it's beautiful, it's amazing, it's informative, helpful. So we went to Israel together where you filmed a professionally filmed television series, 10 episodes called Pilgrimage to Zion, which is available May 1st at Southwest Radio Ministries. You can find us at swrc.com, swrc.com. You can give us a call at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. To purchase Pilgrimage to Zion, it's $50 for the whole entire series. And Larry, I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed in what they see because we're getting ready to talk about how cool it was to film that and what sorts of fascinating things they're going to find. You mentioned when we talked the other day, you mentioned that there are two mountains. We're talking about geography in the land of Israel a bit today. So these two mountains, Sinai and Zion, these are both often referred to as the mountain of God by different people. What are Sinai and Zion, and how do they play into Pilgrimage to Zion?
Well, they're important as it relates to God's redemptive plan for mankind. Mount Sinai and the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, the law, fire on the mountain. God gave Moses and the Israelites the law on Mount Sinai, the exact location. That's for archaeologists like you, my friend, to debate exactly where that may be. We're much more familiar with Mount Zion, also known as the City of God, the City of Jerusalem. We know where that is. Mount Moriah, also the City of Jerusalem, is known in general as Zion. Zion associated with Christ. So many things happened at Zion, and we're going to talk about the Mount of Olives, I'm sure, during this episode. You have Sinai, where the law was given. You have Zion, the city of God, where Christ spent so much time. So many important events happen in Jerusalem, and we'll probably get into those during this. So you have this comparison and contrast naturally between Moses and Jesus. You know, Moses spent 40 years as a shepherd. Jesus in the New Testament called the Good Shepherd. Moses and Jesus were alike, and they both led God's people out of captivity. Moses leading them out of physical bondage in Egypt. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, bringing people out of our spiritual Egypt, so to speak, our spiritual bondage into spiritual freedom, abundant and eternal life found through faith in him. So Moses was like Jesus in that he performed various miracles. Not all prophets did. So there's some comparison and contrast between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion.
And that is really interesting. Now, speaking of biblical geography, so you are a Jewish believer in Jesus Christ. You were raised in a home where you followed Jewish traditions before you became a Christian, but you were raised in America, just like so many of our listeners. And so when we read the Bible, I think we're missing out. I think we oftentimes don't see what's going on, because I heard it once said that whereas the Bible deals with the greatest topics you can imagine, it's cosmic, just what it's about. We're talking about the creator of all things, the creator of the cosmos. But when it comes down to the actual writing, it's a very local book in its geography. And one thing that we do in Pilgrimage to Zion, one thing that we experienced was the geography of the land of Israel and its surrounding regions. Tell us a little bit about selecting locations to film the various scenes.
In general, we really can't divorce the geography of the land with the Bible narrative. When one goes there, it's been said that to read the Bible without actually experiencing the land is to read it in a linear fashion or in black and white. When you go to Israel and the Bible comes to life, for those of your listeners who've been there, the Bible comes to life in so many unique ways. It's like reading the Bible now in 3D, and the Bible now, reading it in Technicolor as opposed to black and white. And again, the gospel narratives and the Bible itself are directly connected to the geography of the land. For example, we talked in our last program about Galilee and the Sea of Galilee and the area of the Galilean region and how close in proximity it was. Remember, in the first century, but there were no cars, there were no trains, there were no planes. And so people walked. They walked. When you're there and you realize Israel is a country about the size of modern-day New Jersey. It's a very small country, and the Galilee is just a portion of the country, and it's beautiful. So the land is directly connected to the Bible narrative, and Jesus walked. So there's just a little bit about the geography. And so with the sites that we picked, we spent much of our time and around the Galilee area, and we spent much of our time also, obviously, in Jerusalem, and how important so many places in Jerusalem are. This is where the Passion Week occurred. During Passover is when the events at the end of the Gospels occur, when Christ celebrates the Passover with his disciples, where he is betrayed, where he is crucified, where he resurrects, and not coincidentally, where he ascends to heaven and where he returns. There's a little bit about the connection between the land. And so shooting the land, one of the things that's awesome, and you mentioned how terrific our video team was, to be in the Holy Land and to be able to see it and experience it in that 3D kind of way that we're talking about really embellishes and enhances the truths found in the Word of God that are communicated in this Pilgrimage to Zion series. So in short, that's it. It's directly connected to the gospel narrative and the person and work of Christ.
Sure. And to be able to talk about a thing in the Bible, to talk about Jesus, and to stand in a place like over near the city of Nazareth, and we were looking out over the Jezreel Valley at the location, Mount Precipice, where we believe that they tried to push Jesus off the mountain when he went back to his people. And to be able to see that in context, it gives you an idea of what's going on. And this is what's happening in this Pilgrimage to Zion, is we are in so many different locations. And you're right, our film crew from Venture Films, they did such a great job, the B-roll. And what B-roll, that's the stuff that you shoot that's not the the speaker, but it's the scenery that gets put over top. They did a great job shooting that B-roll. It is beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. I'll give you a couple of examples of the Bible narratives and the locations we were at and how they're profound and significant. For example, we were in central Israel overlooking the Jezreel Valley, which is kind of like the breadbasket of modern-day Israel. It's an agricultural region. It's fertile. but it was also called by Napoleon as the world's greatest battlefield. And this is where in Revelation 16, when Jesus comes again at the second coming, that he will defeat his enemies. You see this Jezreel Valley, and you can picture Jesus defeating these armies arrayed against God and God's people at the end of days. It's an incredible sight to be there, and you can feel it. Also, another place that's really profound, had an impact on me when I was there, among all the places, but the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem is an incredibly significant place. This is the area where Jesus, the night he was betrayed, you have at the bottom of this area called the Mount of Olives, you have the Garden of Gethsemane. So he's betrayed and taken there. And then you have the Mount of Olives where Jesus returns in Zechariah 14:4. The Bible says that he'll stand on that day on the Mount of Olives. He also ascends from the Mount of Olives. And remember, just before ascending, he'll tell the disciples, you know, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It blew me away. I'd been there when I was with my home church in 2001, but actually doing ministry and actually opening the Bible and proclaiming the gospel at these locations, including the Mount of Olives, was just such a blessing and a privilege.
Yeah, it was something. The Mount of Olives is one of those locations, and you shot there like all day. You mentioned the Jezreel Valley.
I did.
Jezreel Valley. You talk about the natural battlefield, and I think not a lot of people realize this, but understanding the geography, if there's a battle in the Bible in the Old Testament, likely it took place there. Not all of them, of course, but many of them, because it's such a strategic location. The first well-recorded battle in history, Moses III at the Battle of Megiddo. Megiddo, of course, being Armageddon. So the first well-recorded battle in history is the one that we read in Scripture where Jesus will come, where we're going to have the last one. So many things in that valley. Looking at these locations and seeing the importance of them, of course, historically, but biblically, Larry, do you have a favorite location where we shot?
Well, I just mentioned it, the Mount of Olives.
I thought maybe.
The Mount of Olives just, it really moved me. And again, to have the Bible and to open it up and to be able to teach about the person and work of Christ our Lord. Again, a blessing and a privilege. And to experience something like this, people go, what was it like? I said, well, how do you articulate verbally the trip of a lifetime? And it truly was a trip of a lifetime. We've got pictures and we've got memories, but to process the profundity of what we experienced together, you know, we had this shared experience, me, you, and the 10 other men that were on the trip. That was really an awesome thing. But yeah, in short, the Mount of Olives was it for me. You said, you can only be at one place there. Where do you want to go? Well, let me go there and I'll be good with it.
Yeah, well, you're overlooking the Temple Mount, the City of David, all these different locations. Let's shift gears a little bit. I do want to talk about some of the other locations, such as outside the country of Israel, where we went. But since we're talking about the Mount of Olives, the olives grown there were important for their oil, for the olive oil that would go into the temple, into the lamp. But olives are also a thing you eat. And we did eat in Israel, Larry, did we not?
Oh, we ate like kings and princes, to be sure.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful place, delicious food. So, Larry, there was something that you did every day there. We've got to talk about it. Tell us about the falafel report.
Well, you are my co-conspirator of sorts. Your audience must know that you and I actually did this together. We would give brief reports, summarizing and showing people our meals that we ate. We were in Capernaum near the Mount of Beatitudes, and there was a restaurant there right near the Sea of Galilee. And I remember we had St. Peter's fish. I didn't order St. Peter's fish. I had ordered St. Peter's fish before for your audience.
Sure.
They bring you a fish from caught in the Sea of Galilee, and it's got all of its bones. It's got its head. It's not my thing, but that was one of our falafel reports. And it was fun. Remember that day? Yeah, the waiter came up to me and said, "Here's the bill, sir." Matthew played a nice joke on me. He said, "It was my birthday, so they gave me the bill." But we had a lot of fun. We were in Jericho. Remember, we had an amazing buffet in Jericho. We would eat falafel in Nazareth, and then we would go to Jericho, and then we were at the Sea of Galilee and having St. Peter's fish. And we just went from one feast and one banquet to another, did we not?
We did. We ate well. The food was delicious. So we called it the falafel report, but there was other stuff that I don't think you ate falafel every day. What was your favorite thing to eat on this trip?
Oh, wow. Well, the hummus was really just, how can you talk about the hummus, right there? But a couple of things I really loved the dates and the figs, fresh dates and the fresh figs. They were the best I ever had. I mean, you are there in the land of the date and the fig, going all the way back to the Old Testament times. People have been eating fresh figs and fresh dates for thousands of years. I can tell your audience here in America, we don't get dates and figs like you get in the Middle East. So those were a couple of things I loved. Also, you get lamb. The lamb is just cooked to perfection there. We had lamb at a few meals. So those are some of my favorites. Yeah.
It's great to enjoy the culture. So let's talk a little bit about, as we're talking about geography, we didn't spend all of our time in Israel. We went to the neighboring nation of Jordan. What does Jordan have to do with the Bible? What does it have to do with pilgrimage to Zion?
Our time in Jordan was awesome. We went to two places primarily and shot. First, we went to Mount Nebo, which in the book of Deuteronomy, this is where God will take Moses and lead Moses and show him the Holy Land. Your listeners are familiar with the Bible narrative. God will deliver the Jewish people out of bondage in Egypt. He'll make a covenant with them, make them a nation. He'll lead them in the desert for 40 years before bringing them into the promised land. Moses and others rebel against God. Moses and an entire generation are prohibited from entering the Holy Land with Joshua and the younger Israelites. But God, before Moses dies, will take him up on Mount Nebo, which is modern-day Jordan. In the Bible, it was called Moab. Mm-hmm. And in the book of Deuteronomy, we read where God will show Moses the Holy Land, and then Moses will die. And the Bible says God buries him there in the mountains of Moab. Mm-hmm. That was an awesome place. But the reason I'm there is it's also important because there's a story from Numbers 21, and there's a church and a museum there, but there's a story from Numbers 21 about the Israelites rebelling and God sending snakes to bite the people, and the people repent and say, "We're sorry for complaining. We're sorry for rebelling. Please ask God to forgive us." Mm-hmm. Moses will ask God to forgive them and to heal them. God will tell Moses to put a bronze snake on a pole, and whoever looks at it will be healed. And those who look at the snake are physically healed from the snake bites. Those who aren't will die. And this is a picture of saving faith. Jesus will refer to this, and I'm just going to open it up real quick and just get it so your listeners can understand. But I'll read from John chapter 3. Jesus will refer to this story in John 3, when he's ministering to Nicodemus, remember the teacher of Israel. And in John 3:14, we read, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is John chapter 3, verse 15. Many of your listeners obviously are familiar with John 3:16, but there's a reference to Mount Nebo, and it's a wonderful place. Also, Mount Nebo, we also, talking about the promised land, we talk about the Abrahamic covenant and how God promised Abraham that he would make him a great nation and that the nations of the world would be blessed. The families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. And we know that's true because through the nation of Israel comes forth the Messiah. And through Messiah Jesus, their true knowledge of God, the saving knowledge of God, would go forth to the nations of the world. So in Jordan, at Mount Nebo and also at Petra, which we'll talk about probably in just a moment, I get to talk about Gentile salvation. And I say in this TV series, Pilgrimage to Zion, that God's redemptive plan is not about Jews or Gentiles exclusively. God's redemptive plan is about mankind. And I like to say, sometimes quipping, I like to say, knowing the Lord is not about your Jewishness or about your Gentileness. Knowing the Lord is about your Jesusness. Do you know him? There's a little bit from Mount Nebo, and I'm sure we can talk about Jordan in a moment. His redemptive plan for man includes all people, not just Jews or Gentiles exclusively.
That's what this pilgrimage to Zion covers. We've got about 4 minutes left. Larry, can you tell us a little bit about Petra?
Petra was an amazing place. It's actually, from my understanding, a 4th century glorified tomb. It's a massive structure. It's one of the 7 wonders of the world. And we were in Petra, and the reason I shot at Petra was because it represents the Great Commission. When Jesus said to his disciples just before ascending from the Mount of Olives in Acts 1, that you will be my witnesses to the utter ends of the earth, you wonder what they were thinking, right? But when Jesus says also to his disciples, we talked about Mount Arbel in a previous episode. We talked about the Great Commission mandate. When Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, you wonder what they were thinking. But Gentile salvation, when I'm in Petra, I'm talking about how Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, when he's saved, guess what? His name will change. He will stop being referred to as Saul, his Jewish name, and he'll go by his Roman name, Paul. Why? Because he was God's chosen vessel to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And there's a couple scriptures that I refer to when I'm teaching in Petra, because God promised that the Messiah would be a light to the nations. In Isaiah 42:6, the word says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. And in Isaiah 49:6, the word says, indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, to the nations, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. That's why shooting in Jordan was really a blessing, to be able to talk about that reality of God's redemption going forth to all the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah, Larry, could you give us just a quick summary of Pilgrimage to Zion, the 10-episode television series? What is it all about?
It's all about a people, a place, and a person, Clayton. It's all about God's redemptive plan for mankind. It's all about our journey to Jesus. And as Christians, it's all about our ultimate place, to be with God forever in his abode, which ultimately is the New Jerusalem, the city coming down out of heaven. This is our eternal dwelling with the Lord. So that's a little bit about what Pilgrimage to Zion is all about.
Good, good. Larry, we appreciate you being with us the last few days. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how to get in touch with you and find out more about your ministry?
You can find us at larrystam.org, our website again, larrystam.org, L-A-R-R-Y-S-T-A-M-M. Also, you can find us at our Facebook page, at the Larry Stam Ministries Facebook page as well.
So great. So if you want to find out more about Larry Stam Ministries, so this, of course, is Pilgrimage to Zion. It is a 10-episode professionally produced series shot on location in Israel and Jordan. These are amazing. You can find them. They're coming out May 1st. You can pre-order $50 for all 10 episodes. You can find them at swrc.com. That's swrc.com, or call us at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. So we've been talking with Larry Stam, the host of Pilgrimage to Zion. Larry, thank you for being with us today.
Clayton, it's been such a blessing and a privilege. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Watchmen on the Wall. I'm your host, Clayton Van Hus. We've been talking with Larry Stam about his television series, Pilgrimage to Zion.
Pilgrimage to Zion is here. Filmed in Israel and Jordan, this 10-episode television series is about the person and works of Jesus the Messiah and God's redemptive plan for mankind. Order Pilgrimage to Zion, the complete television series, today. Call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. Zion is representative of a person, a place, and a people. Specifically, Zion is about the Lord, His dwelling place, and His redeemed people, the people of God. In Pilgrimage to Zion, you'll see the Redeemer, Jesus, is bringing the redeemed under His banner into His place of peace. Ultimately, the New Jerusalem, or as the Bible states, Zion, the eternal dwelling place of God and His people. Pilgrimage to Zion, 1-800-652-1144. Friends, we're so glad you're here today. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. Inside, you'll find the latest issue of our Prophetic Observer newsletter and a special gift. Request your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Brand new resources from SWRC are now available. Josh Davis's brand new book, Rise of the One World Mind, shows the reader how to thrive under the threat of globalism. Micah Van Hus's new book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. Join Micah as he takes a look inside the secret societies that have shaped our world today. Rise of the One World Mind and Secret Societies, two brand new resources available for you and your family from SWRC. Order your copies today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Did you know that Watchmen on the Wall is available as a mobile app? Take Watchmen on the Wall with you by downloading our free mobile app. Visit your app store and type the letters SWRC in the search bar. The SWRC mobile app has hundreds of archive programs as well as the latest program available to you. The SWRC mobile app. Download it today. Tomorrow, we'll learn about how Africa needs Jesus and how you and I can help them meet the Savior. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by simply subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.